Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Masonic Effects. An acquired taste in the realm of in the practice of Freemasonry. It's a pleasure to have you here today. And this is a particularly auspicious occasion for Masonic Effects. It's our 10th anniversary. Yeah, with your help. We have prevailed. How can you just imagine? The format has developed from early days into something that is pleasing and entertaining and informative. So we're quite pleased. But it is something to be taken in the small bits and bites. And we have a good, of course, today. Being the show that's leading us to the program just before New Year's, we're going to lean more toward nostalgia than we normally do, or perhaps a little more blatantly. Around the world, greetings to one and all. And it's, I think, fitting for me to share with you who's sitting in with us today. We have listeners from a whole host of countries around the world. It's quite wonderful. Cameroon, hello, and South Sudan, and Uganda, and Oman, and India, Australia, Denmark, Japan, Finland, Greece, Sweden, Serbian Republic, Peru, Canada, USA, Chile, Croatia, the Netherlands, and Ireland. It is kind of interesting that we have you sitting in from around the globe, morning, afternoon, night, middle of the night, all leaning in. And who knew the world would catch up to us? This pandemic has given birth to a lot of Zoom meetings where we, or even Eventbrite, where we collect little flash mobs. We collect around a particular topic, and we've just adjusted, haven't we, without too much difficulty. Oh, but it's quite interesting in areas like where I am. There's we don't have, I tend to think, not to speak out of turn here, but I tend to think this is not too uncommon, that our Grand Lodges have a phenomenal amount of critics. In fact, everybody in the organization, I think, will generally be distracted at one point or another by administrative feats of either of daring or of unexpected consequences. Very few, I notice, have reviewers, people that will identify the strengths and complications and weaknesses, and then venture into set our minds in a direction of what can be done. The distraction is to weigh in on administration, and particularly where administration is trying desperately to reform and come up with something that will reinvigorate or inspire. And often, of course, they don't. Of course they don't. It's like being subjected to a big public relations scheme. Never seems to work well, does it? No. This year, I hope in my heart of hearts that all of the administration of the masonry decides collectively that the inspiration comes from within you, within the man. What makes you an interesting and interested in the world around you is not something that can be manufactured, but we can draw on whatever talents are there by reminding you, and that's part of the thinking that goes into designing the programs for Masonic Effects. Reminding you and I of our humanness and the joys and frailties of being that way. We're not going to get in comfortably into the examination of our investigation of conscience. Here we're pleased to talk about some of the things that are rather obvious if you tend to look. Well, that's like most things, isn't it? The best things seem to be those very hard questions that are answered with in a way that leaves each one of us saying, "Oh, I knew that. I knew that." Well, of course you did, but you didn't know it at the time and in the order that that was needed. It's wonderful. This is heading into 2021. I'll leave that to you and your best friends to talk about the merit of all of that. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting time. And at some points, I feel like it's going to be leaving a permanent mark on Freemasonry. And then nothing's really permanent about this order. Nothing. It's impermanent because you are impermanent until you reach that point of what? Grace or enlightenment? It's a good program. Of course, I get to read a little bit from the poetry from the book that was handed to me by my that I inherited when my grandfather passed away. He was a Mason, yeah. I don't know what he would make of Masonry today. Here, he would be so proud, as many of us are, about the accomplishments of Masonry in your countries. It helps to inspire and gives us reason and purpose because you bring a joy and an unvarnished satisfaction and pleasure with things that are beautiful. Beautiful concepts, beautiful art, beautiful science. It's something that is able to give us moments of contemplation. And the world swirls around us. It doesn't go faster or slower. We just get more wrapped up in it. I tend to think the drama of life, at least, to make sure that helps us to ensure that life isn't boring. Because without that, what would we have? Without the jazz hands of flapping around, what would we have? It's like the sun comes up, we go and do whatever we've organized ourselves to do, and the sun goes down, except to the essential nature. And you'll have your own answers to all of these questions, but we'll begin here with the question about the essential. What is the essential nature of boys and girls? And I once thought about it being almost a suffering, but I think it's not anxiety. No, I'm convinced that it is our skills of observation. Curiosity didn't come first. It was the skill, that peripheral vision to wonder, whether you're lying on your back looking up at the moon and then seeing stars around it, there's little reflections around it, and then beginning to see patterns. It's that capacity for observation that's allowed us to identify patterns. Patterns are predictability in a way. And in that, we have all of the absolute energy, the enthusiasm of poets and painters and songwriters, minstrels, helping us to look at our own silliness and all of this wonder, our own meanderings, mental meanderings, our doubts and our conspiracies and our fears and how much of that is just that playful wastefulness. Doesn't matter. There's some serious things going on around it, important things, you want to call it that. But I only speak to you and with people, brethren, who I feel are drawn here because they can take a little bit of their life seriously, a little bit at a time. It's if you need that meditative kind of a notion, then turn to Masonic ritual does that. Here I live in a materialist world. I don't think I'm materialist, but I'm influenced by it constantly. And I live close to the United States, which is, as you know, like a gigantic cauldron. And what happens with cauldrons is when you take the heat away, everything just gels into this whatever is left. And it's there's moments where you can almost lose track of the way that information is thrown at us. Sound bites. My focus will change according to the intensity of the speaker that comes before me. And if that speaker is upset, then I assume that emotion. If that speaker is angry or frustrated, I assume that emotion. Except I don't. You become the observer, the watcher, seeing these scenarios, seeing this, whether it's pathos or it's pathetic nonsense or somebody trying to ball up their little fists and be more than they're trying to impress a false image on the world. Doesn't really change. It happens. Every culture, everywhere, there's people that are unaware, and that happens for all kinds of reasons, all kinds. The bugger of it all is when we start to try to understand it, and therein lies the value of Masonry. I don't believe in my heart. I believe that it's this capacity of observation that we've turned into curiosity and on. I believe that some of the most important, if not the most important, elements of Freemasonry aren't answers. It's the questions. Ask silly questions, you come up with silly answers. Treat yourself as if you're frivolous and incapacitated in some way, and your answers will necessarily reflect that. More profound questions are the meat of life and the substance of life. The ones that we scoff at. Here, I was looking at how easy it is to slip into the thinking of a club atmosphere. And yet, the question that I have is, why would anyone do it? Where I am, there are, in the last time this was measured was 2003, a long time ago, but not that long ago. There were 46,000 service-oriented clubs in this country. 46,000 is a little shade under 400 for every 100,000 people in the province that I'm in, about 370. Why would anybody attempt, except out of their own, what would you call it, narcissism? I don't think, no, that's not right, to transform this unique jewel, this interesting phenomena that we call Freemasonry, into a club-like atmosphere. Oh, I have my own ideas, and so do you. Why does it become a vehicle for recognition for some men? Well, some people are petty, and you know I know that, and you know that, and they have shallow egos, so they need their ego reinforced constantly by the people around them. That's pretty fragile kind of person, but you've seen them. Well, I don't think that their behavior is the answer. I think the strength is in the question. And you go back through your ritual, you see that the questions were posed to us. And answers were provided as if you and I weren't there. We're just invisible. And we're spoken about, we're objectified, huh? Nobody leans over and says, what do you think? What do you really think? Or why did you give that answer? You know, it's given for you. So you're not even there. You're about. And then the intelligence or the luck is to go back and start to think about those questions for yourself and answer them, not to the lodge, but to yourself in your own heart. And as we do that, we begin to experience more questions and more questions. And where does that take us? Well, a mentor told me, an academic mentor once told me, was when I was doing research, told me the work of the thesis is in the development of the question. The answer comes out of the question. And the pure, my thinking was, as we went back and forth, we were talking about the purity of the question, the cleanness of it. And the cleaner the question could be, didn't have to be forced in any way, just the cleaner it had to be, the cleaner the answer. And I thought about that for quite a long time. And now here I sit on the last show of this entire year sharing that idea with you. And I think, toss it around and see what you think. But where else? We'll talk about the contemplation, you know. We need to talk about that in this show, the especially one that has a commentary, A Time for Reflection. I don't think I might have subconsciously written that out, not thinking that this would be the last show of the year. Here's a little like Someone in Love. This is a Bill Evans tune, I think. Yeah. Thank you. just, he really did get into his music, didn't he? There is joy in the order. I know. It's not meant to sound cheesy. I think it's the truth. There is a joy in the order. Whether it comes from clubbing and charitable works or contemplation and discovery, it is an undeniable right of every man to find joy in life. Overcoming our tendency to question intent, as if life were a competition, elevates the human spirit. Only with acceptance is a task, does it benefit us. Only when living according to principles do we provide the necessary fee for learning. The ideology, it's a strong current. However, you distinguish yourself with bearing that shows self-discipline. As we learn, we find more satisfaction in contemplation. That takes us away from the clamor into a solitude where the frailty of groupthink becomes threadbare. Within that individuality is where we find spirituality. It sometimes makes me wonder if, like art, the beauty of Freemasonry is transformed by the way it is treated. I could not assess or assert answers any more than our ritual provides answers. Those questions that come to mind when you are alone are possibly a reflection of your own curiosity, an embrace of symbolic language in spite of yourself. But along the way, fighting off the cleverness of others is constant. By virtue of the questions they ask, everyone around will seem to be more grounded. So avoid that pitfall. No one, not even the greatest mathematicians, have all the answers, so be at ease. Learning to control emotion, especially anxiety and fear, are awkward efforts for anyone. It happens as we come to terms with what and who we are. Somehow, as we age, life becomes too serious for distemper and competition. Is this the truth or the truth? Dave Brubeck. If you're fortunate, you try and tune in and listen to his sons. Remarkable. And some of the tributes to their fathers really are heartwarming. Robbie Burns, huh? Are you ready for my indulgence for the year around the world? This is because I think partly, largely because of my Scottish heritage and the continuance of all of this through my grandfather. I was very fortunate to have been aware of this poet before I received my grandfather's book of Robert Burns' poems. And you can imagine, it's so old and fragile now. That only comes out rarely. This is an interesting fellow all by himself, even if we're not talking about the poetry that he wrote. He was an interesting and noteworthy fellow because he like a lot of fellows came into a life where you had to, at an early age, you had to dig your heels in and get to it. He was attentive and was able to reveal to us what can happen about the detail when you notice the detail of things going on around you. What can happen in terms of expressing an emotion. Imagine looking at a scene or an event or a person and being so in touch with the emotion that comes forward inside you that you can put it to words, put it into a song, like phrasing, so that it's remembered, like poetry, and then have the courage to share that with the world. And then, without ever knowing whether, presuming that it's going to be accepted, to find that your work strikes deep into the hearts of people and the minds, men and women, as they're able to relate to the situations that you find yourself in. He had his own struggles. This is not somebody that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, of course. And perhaps it was an intelligence that helped him to notice that there wasn't a poetry at the time to in the common language, and he set out to remedy that. Of course, the boy in me likes the stories of his carousings, and I'm not there to feel the anger or the hurt. I'm there to think he was a scoundrel in a lot of ways. Here, I want to talk to you, share with you a song that's sung at the stroke of midnight in many, many English-speaking countries around the world. And it's a way of saying goodbye, adieu to the old year. But he wrote this. This is a fellow that was writing to amuse himself and his friends. But he became a bit more rebellious as he got older. A little more honest is the way that I would look at it. What better to put forward than on St. John's Day? That's today. This is the a feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It's St. John's Day, isn't it? Or is that the 7th? No. Why do we even celebrate this? It matters, eh? We you need to hear this, don't you? I'm just, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne? There are two folks present in the poem. One is the speaker, and he's talking to one of his old friends while drinking the cup of kindness. It feels heartwarming. And he's asking questions. The poet poses the question to the reader. Should one forget old acquaintances and never think about them? Then the question is it possible to do that? The answer is simply no. None can forget the memories that warmed the heart and gave inspiration. For auld lang syne, my dear, and for auld lang syne, we take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. This is the chorus. Here this phrase means for the sake of old days. But the poet says they should drink again together, remembering old memories and past glories and losses. The glorification of the old before diving headlong into the new. The glorification of the old. And surely you'll be pinched up, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness for auld lang syne, for the sake of old days. The first two lines contain an anaphora. These are the phrases, and surely gets repeated for the sake of emphasis. But Burns will surely take up his cup, and his friend will take up his, and they'll drink together, remembering the old days. Pint stout means pint cup, or simply a cup of drinking wine. But the poet repeats the metaphor, cup of kindness, highlighting the importance of the old memories. We to hae run about the braes and about the grounds fine, and we're wondering mony of weary fit and sin auld lang syne. This is a chorus, and it's the poetic persona. Greek capitulates the old days when they were young and blazing like the sun and brimming with energy. The use of the present perfect sense is important here. In the old times, they ran about the braes or hills and pooed or picked the fine gowns or daisies. They've wandered through the day till his foot became weary of their journey. And for the use of the refrain, one can understand that the poet is visualizing those days in his memory. He does it so often that it seems they have been running since the old days. We to hae paddled in the burn from morning sun till dawn, with seas between us brave there are, sin auld lang syne. And here the speaker reminds his friend how they paddled together in the burn or the stream from morning till dinner time. Those were good old days when nothing could stop them. The early years were always boundless, like the river. And thereafter, as the days pass by, one becomes burdened with several responsibilities. Life hardens. If those memories aren't there, one is nothing. It is those memories that the poet adores. However, the symbolic sea of life has broadened the distance between them. And this sea can be a reference to one's adulthood or family life. And there's a hand, my trusty friend, and gives a hand to thee, and we'll take a good willie wat and for auld lang syne. The last chorus, the speaker asks his friend for his trusty hand and stretches his before drinking the wine. And he proposes a toast for the good old days. But the poet refers to the right good willie wat. Wait means draft, and according to the poet, will bring goodwill to both of them. But there's a tautology in the usage of the synonymous right and good in this line. It is again meant for the sake of emphasis. There's an interesting story behind the publication of the song. He sent the manuscript to the Scots Musical Museum with this little remark. The following song, old song of the olden times, and which has never been in print, nor even in manuscript, till I took it down from an old man. Interesting, some of the lyrics of the song were collected rather than composed. However, the ballad, O Lang Syne, was printed in 1711 by James Watson. And the printed version shows a similarity to the first verse and the chorus of Burns' later poem. It's derived from the same old song. However, it's a mere assumption to attribute the rest of the verse to Robbie Burns. So, is it a collection, as Burns suggests, from olden times? My goodness. Who knew, eh? We'll end the show with that. With a rendition that is just so, so beautiful. Does it let you meditate? That kind of music? You go someplace inside yourself? One day we should talk about the traveling that morality allows us to do. I don't want to go into the future and go into the past, but we've had, there was a time when the state of Freemasonry wasn't as overregulated and breathless as it is today. And I only say that because I can mock some of the, in hindsight, I can mock some of the nonsense. But truly, this is something that is a gift, and it came by hard knocks. And it's not a gift given to everybody. It's a gift that's discovered. There was a time when people realized that Freemasonry could be a source of revenue. It could be exploited. And it was. People all over the place were offering up degrees. Do you want a degree? Come into the pub here. I'll give you a degree and I'll charge you this fee. It's one of the hidden ones, you know. And then you move on to the next town and you have a whole population of wide-eyed and keen brethren, and you offer them the same. This is that next degree, and the next, and the next. So it became a moneymaker. Some of them, well, they were fanciful, and it created a question of the coherence of Masonry. So what would you do in those circumstances? You'd think, my goodness, you know, we have to regulate this somehow to stop these people from doing this, from taking advantage of the naivety and the innocence of our membership, the trust of our membership, and simply to stamp it out because it's illegal, it's wrong, it's immoral to do this. You're lying to people. And we hear some remarkable stories of people making claims of who they were and that were simply made up. Stories that came to us from the highest ranks of in those earliest times, the early 18th century when the governance of Freemasonry was being formed, and that clamor. And, you know, it's the same clamor as we have today. You want your name first, you want to be part of creating something, but then you don't know how to run it. You don't know how to make the magic. You just know how to open the door. You can't even figure out how to put a coat of varnish on it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're tucking into a bit of history about that transition and what it tells us. It's not about what it tells us about them, but what it tells us about ourselves. And I think it's quite a bit. This is a referring to that point. You know, we're talking about the records of the Dundee Lodge, Scottish Lodge. And something is happening in the background in masonry, isn't it? 1734, the transformation was ensured. The transformation of speculative with operative masons. The power to govern decisively was placed in the hands of the gentlemen Freemasons. That's 1734. The occasion for this shift of authority over the government of the lodge involved both money and labor. Money had been inappropriately lent without proper security. Craftsmen not belonging to the guild had been employed, while the quality of craftsmanship of some operative masons was deemed inadequate. At the annual meeting in 1734, the gentlemen of substance were elected as the officers. The Honorable John, Master of Gray, was chosen as Master of the Lodge, and he was also a local agricultural improver. Suddenly, language employed by London Freemasons and first displayed in Anderson's 1723 constitutions were used in full force. Terms appear that have not to be found in the records of the Dundee Operative Masons. The Society of Free and Accepted Masons. The Honorable Society of the Ancient Lodge. Laws and regulations for the better and orderly government of the respective brethren. Brothers were charged with the task of assembling to consider of such laws and regulations as shall seem most proper and requisite for the better government of the society, with full power to them to make and enact in the locked book of the society such laws as shall best seem for preserving order and unanimity among the brethren, and punishing delinquents of whatever rank or degree. A committee was established to do just that. For the first time in these 70 or more years of records, reference is made to the secret mysteries of masonry. It shall no longer be lawful by or any number of the brethren of the lodge of this place to initiate or enter any person or persons of whatever degree or quality as they may have access to the knowledge of the ancient and secret mysteries of masonry without first apprising the worshipful, the master of the lodge, with whose consent and approbation a man may be admitted. In this context, the secrets refer to the traditional skills of craftsmen, as well as signs and words used to properly initiated guild masons to signal to one another their status and hence their right to work in the vicinity. Thank you.
And as the angel had foretold, they did our Savior Christ behold. Within a manger he was laid, and by his
Yo-Yo Ma and Alison Krauss. Well, I see that the time for our program is drawing to an end. I'll sign off with a notion to the silly men who, as they go through life, become weary, noticing the things that they're no longer able to do, longing for them, whether it's the friendships or the energy, you know, we lose pace at what? Depends what your target, your standard is. That just comes. And we talk about the benefits of wisdom, experience, to help us overcome that for a time. That is absolutely the way, then for a long time. Silly, silly, silly brethren, though. Those kind of thoughts will act on you, particularly if you're feeling restless or haven't been getting enough sleep, or you've been distracted by sadness. If you look for what's not there, with your intelligence, you will always find it. Always. The question that I have for you is, what good does it do? What's it doing for you to do that if it makes you feel empty and as if you're less than you are? Silly man. Take that same energy, that same intelligence, that same mind, that same character, and look for what is there. Yeah, maybe it is the duality of masonry or life. I'm not sure. If you look for what is there, if I ask you to stand before the Mona Lisa and find the flaw, what's the problem with it? You will do that because you're intelligent. But if I also ask you to find the beauty, what's the most beautiful aspect? What's the most beautiful memory that you have? Tell me about the greatest happiness that you've experienced. the closest you've ever felt to another person, the most trust you've known, your favorite song. If you look for the best, you will find it too. And there is no one, if you haven't noticed, to stop you from looking at the withering aspects of life. Think about every ache and pain that you have, and do that day in and day out, and your ache and pain will certainly seem more than it needs to be. So my wish for each and every one of you this year is health and prosperity, and also an ability to answer the question, you know, if you're looking at, you're noticing what you can't do, where's it getting you? How's that working for you? Could you just turn your mind to looking at what is? I look forward to joining you again in 2021 for the start of our 11th year. I'm grateful for your support, and I'm also grateful to the great architect for giving me the wit, the wherewithal, and resources to be able to offer something constructive and purposeful to you. Cheers. This is the Choral Scholars of University College in Dublin.
For all that I am, I am thine.
Happy New Year.